This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Rumors that Ron Shera caught a fish may be exaggerated. We can't verify whether it was from today or not. We're working on that. Joining me from the Mr. Basketball, Chairman of the Mr. Basketball Committee, David Hedberg has seen a lot, including now he's got down to the Final Five, but he's never seen a year like this where he's had to do this. Hey, how are you, Mr. Hedberg? Everything good?
Hey, good, Mike. Yeah, good. Thanks for having me on. Things are well. How about you?
Good. This morning we announced it via you, but I did it with Dave Lee, the Final Five finalists. Let's start with that. Give us the Final Five. Who's in?
All right. So the top five or the Final Five, we have Chet Holmgren from Minnehaha Academy, Will Cheddar from Stuartville, Andrew Morgan from Waseca, Francis Wakaria from Champlain Park, and Lamar Grayson from Richfield.
Now, all of those, except for Cheddar, will be in the state tournament. So tell us about him. He's going to Michigan. He's from Stuartville. We've seen, you know, maybe a little bit about him, but tell us more.
Yeah, so Will, he's, you know, 6'8", 6'9", really a great all-around player. I think he averaged about 32 points a game this year for Stuartville. Good inside-outside game, you know, nice three-point shooter. He was relied on to bring the ball up a decent amount of the time. They had the national TV game at Minnehaha about a month and a half ago, which is really kind of a nice exposure thing. You know, the Stuartville kids were able to come up when the team from Tennessee had to bow out because of some weather, and Minnehaha was nice enough to invite them up. So, yeah, it was a really good experience for Stuartville and for our committee to get to see Stuartville come up and play, you know, a really tough Minnehaha Academy team.
And he's big and lean, and he must be pretty agile. He plays quarterback as well, and he just shoots the ball real well, huh?
Yeah, it's a real nice stroke. Yeah, for being 6'8 or 6'9 with that kind of an outside shot. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch him at Michigan, and it was, you know, fun to watch him the last couple of years at Stuartville.
We just had Omar McMillan on last hour from Richfield High School, and he's got some good players, but he's got a player that can score the ball.
Yeah, Lamar really had a good year, and I know you were talking. I heard the interview with Omar that game against South St. Paul. That was really something. I know you guys talked about that an hour ago.
That must. Did you watch it? Did you get to see it?
I did. Yeah, I watched it on video. But yeah, the second half. I mean, the way the Richfield kids came back, and I think Lamar ended up with 37 points that game, and you know, really, you know, kind of led the team over, like you guys talked about, a great South St. Paul team.
Excuse me, the kid from Waseca, Morgan, big kid, going to North Dakota State. He's got a big upside.
Yeah, he does. And again, that was, you know, I saw Waseca probably six or seven times this year. And again, they played Minnehaha, and that's kind of, you know, just, you know, with the amount of talent Minnehaha has, you know, watching, you know, Andrew Morgan and, you know, Ryan Dufault was also in our top 10, just how well they were able to handle themselves and do well against a really tough team. And, you know, in the kind of the regular season for Waseca, I think they've been winning their games, I think I read today, by an average of 29 points.
Yeah.
So they've,
which tells you something about Minnehaha, by the way, right?
Yeah. Minnehaha is very deep, and obviously, you know, I was watching tonight Jalen Suggs, you know, in the Elite Eight. So they took Jalen Suggs away, and they've still got a really really nice team over there.
Yeah, and Chet Holmgren, the last one that we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I watched him tonight against Tino Grace, and I said the thing that it dawns on that I don't see when we just send a camera out there to get highlights is that You get dribble penetration. We hear this term often, and you break down somebody. You get inside the lane, and that's the goal many times for guards. Either shoot the three or get dribble penetration. So you've either got a floater, a layup, or you dump it to somebody for an easy layup. You can get that against Minnehaha. In fact, sometimes they'll even give it to you, but that's as far as you go because Holmgren has this. It's just almost inexplicable. He doesn't foul, and he gets that wingspan out there. And you can't negate it. I mean, if you go to the hoop, he's going to block it without fouling you. If you try to shoot a floater, he's going to alter it. So now you got to go back out and reset. And, oh, yeah, Minnehaha knows that on the perimeter. And if you want to move the ball back outside, you're not going to get a three because they let Big Chet operate in there. But the fact that he doesn't foul may be his greatest skill.
Yeah, and that's, and like you said about the driving, that's one of the things that you don't see in the stat sheet.
You don't, no, so you often, don't.
But there's so often where you'll see a kid has an open lane, and he takes a dribble and sees Chet and then stops and, you know, doesn't even, you know, go through. So there's not an opportunity for Chet to block it, but he's, in essence, you know, kind of messed up the other team's play. So he's one of the bigger difference makers I've seen probably ever in high school on the defensive end. I mean, he really alters almost every possession.
You know, it's a little bit like Randy Brewer, only he can go outside and shoot it. He's a modern day, he's a European look, whatever you call it. But you know, and that's what they ask for nowadays. They never ask Randy to do anything else. But it's the same thing that Brewer had. When you get in the lane, he's going to do something to screw you up. You're not going to get to the basket. Chet does that, plus he can go outside and shoot it.
Right, yeah, and he's, yeah, for being 7'7", with, you know, the handles he has with dribbling the basketball, I mean, there really aren't any weaknesses with his game. Like you said, he's got a real smooth outside shot. A lot of times in high school when kids get to be that tall, you know, they haven't grown into their body. But he has such great body control and kind of fluidity with his shot that it's, you know, really, really makes him a special player.
This year, what was it like for you and your staff? A lot of streaming videos?
Yeah, I got into maybe 10 or 11 games in person and then watched probably 60 or 70 online. That's one of the things I wanted to say. You know, it was, you know, we did email, you know, a lot of the athletic directors asking to get into games, and we were, you know, denied, and rightfully so. But like I say, just the job that they've had this year with having to deal with, you know, parents and fans and friends of players and, you know, who gets in and who doesn't. So we tried to tread really lightly there where, you know, it's kind of an ask once, and if it was a no, we'd, you know, move on to the next game or look for it on video. Because I said I wouldn't have wanted to have an athletic director's job this year.
Yeah, 125 gets eaten up pretty quick, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah, this is crazy.
You know, one of the things that's fun about your position is that you get to see what these people. You mentioned Jalen Suggs going on now. They're closing out USC tonight in a big way. He had 13 points the first half tonight. We had Jameson Battle on earlier. He played with Tyrell Terry. Tyrell was a really good point guard. I don't know that any of us project him to be an NBA player 2 years later. What is that like for you to see players after? Because isn't that part of the fun?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's. You know, I was kind of joking with my wife. That's one thing it does, though. It wrecks my NCAA pools because I always like to.
Yeah, you go with your emotion always.
Yeah, I had Texas in the Final Four. They had Jericho Sims from, you know, yep. Cristo Rey Jesuit School. You know, Colorado with McKinley. You know, and obviously, you know, Jalen. You know, with Gonzaga. No, it's just so much fun. Like I said last time I was on, I've kind of become a Wisconsin fan because they have so many great kids from Minnesota. They've gone over there. It's hard not to root for them. So, you know, if they're not playing the Gophers, yeah, you know, I'm going to be pulling for the kids that, you know, that came from Minnesota.
Well, McKinley Wright was one that you guys were on throughout when he was at Champlain Park, and now he's taking this Colorado thing, and he's just had an outstanding career there. What do you remember about him in high school?
Oh, McKinley, he was our Mr. Basketball winner, I think, in 2017.
You know, yeah, probably, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the command he had of the game. It's, you know, very much in control. I mean, extremely athletic, but always played with poise. With patience, you never felt that he got out of control. Always knew what the right pass was. He obviously had a, you know, great teammate with Theo John and some other guys, but really kind of maximized, you know, what that team could do just with his leadership and, you know, vision of the court and, you know, his ball handling ability. He was a fun player to watch.
You know, it's funny when you say this, Dave, because, you know, when I think of McKinley Wright, I think of like a Bobby Jackson with the Gophers. I mean, he knew where the ball was going to be before you knew where the ball was going to be, and he could get rebounds, loose balls, and everything else. Statistically, I don't even know what his stats were, and I don't know what Holmgren's stats are. But when you just watch a player, statistics go by the wayside, don't they? You just get a feel for a guy that's a dominant player. And I think a lot of people think, well, it's based on, you know, how many points a game, how many rebounds, assists. That kind of takes care of itself. But when you watch a player play, you can just tell who affects the game.
Exactly. I was just going to say exactly what you said is, you know, when you watch a player and you know the certain things that we're looking for that they do well, you know, points, rebounds, things like that kind of fall into place. You know, someone like Chet, I guess I'm with you too. I don't even know what his exact numbers are this year. It's kind of irrelevant.
It is irrelevant, because, but you know when you watch him what he does.
Yep, and then, you know, same with someone like, you know, Will Cheddar or Andrew Morgan. You know, just the way they, you know, lead their team and their presence on the court and, you know, just kind of the way they handle themselves. And, you know, the stats, you know, definitely do kind of come naturally when you have those on the court and, you know, just kind of the way they handle themselves. And, you know, the stats, you know, definitely do kind of come naturally when you have those characteristics.
Do you get lobbied a lot? Do people ever send you a sizzle reel?
Not sizzle reels. We you know, I do get a number of, you know, texts or emails from different coaches. Probably more so when we're putting together the watch list at the beginning of the year. You know, that's where we have 40 or 50 kids from around the state.
Sure.
And that's something that I do reach out to coaches because we do want that input, because obviously we have 9 people on the committee and we try and see as many games as we can. But we also do try and reach out and, you know, solicit, you know, opinions from people. And obviously coaches are going to be biased, which I want them to be. But, you know, just them connecting with us, you know, sometimes makes us, you know, focus on, you know, either a conference or a team or a player, you know, that we might not have put as much time into without that, you know, that prodding from them.
And then, you know, I forgot to mention the one, too, because I only went through 4, and that's at Champlain Park. Francis, and I'm going to say his name wrong if I'm not careful, you say it.
Francis Wakaria.
Boy, he can play.
Yeah, he's Champlain's got a really nice team, and he's kind of the, you know, the big cog in the middle there, too. With just in talking to the coaches at Champlain, you know, the work that he puts in, he never stops. You know, I've seen them, they've played Park Center now 3 times. I think they've won 2 of them in overtime. And Park Center has 2 big guys that they're kind of rotating in and out. And Francis was in the whole game. And he was, you know, keeping up with, you know, fresh bodies kind of coming at him and continuing to work right until, you know, into overtime. So he's got an engine that just doesn't stop and just a real nose for the ball and, you know, knows how to get the rebound and, you know, great footwork underneath.
That being said, as we head towards the state tournament, in the process of watching these players, you see great teams. Champlain, 4A, we've kind of said, we're not quite sure. We think Minnehaha's probably the best team in the state. They're 3A. 4A's got, you know, Wayzata sitting there, Champlain sitting there. Who have you seen? Who stands out to you as a team?
So I think probably as a team, you know, Champlain Park, not just because they're undefeated, but, you know, they did really run through a really tough schedule. Like I said, they played Park 3 times, or Park Center 3 times. They played Maple Grove, who's in the state tournament, twice. But that said, I mean, you know, Minnehaha is probably, you know, by a decent amount, the number one team in the state. You know, there's part of me that wishes Minnehaha was 4A so that we could, you know, see them if
yeah,
they were to both make it to the, you know, the finals and see how that would pan out. But no, I mean, just with the depth of talent that Minnehaha still has, you know, they've got, you know, the Millers, and they've got Prince Aligbe, and they've got a number of, you know, great players. They still have a number of underclassmen, Mike. I mean, they're going to be good for the next, you know, several years still.
Yeah, and you said those Millers, masterpiece kids. I mean, the way I see it is like Totino Grace, if you throw Holmgren out, it's a coin toss. You've got a bunch of really good players and athletes and guys that can do all the things. Holmgren's the difference. But the Millers give them a dimension. They've kind of got control of the perimeter, you know, and that's what allows everything else. But they can guard. They can guard the guards, and they can get to the basket, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, they're tough, and they're unbelievably quick.
Yes, they're explosive.
Yeah, they have good outside shots. You've got to respect the outside shot, but if you come out too far, you know, they're able to, you know, drive by you, and then you've got Prince or Chet down low to either take the pass or have them take it to the hole. So they're. That's a lot to handle with those guys on the perimeter, Mike.
Yeah, and 2A, I guess you got to look at Minneapolis North off the top. Now, Minnehaha gave it to them pretty good, but other than that, they've been really good this year.
Well, yeah, Minneapolis North, I mean, you know, Larry's got another great team. You know, they like to press a lot, you know, a lot of athleticism and quickness. But again, you know, Waseca's in 2A this year.
Yes, I forgot. That's the matchup everybody's been kind of waiting for. Yep, because Caledonia made it, and they're good. They beat Stewartville and good in the finals. They just don't have the King kit.
Yeah, and Caledonia's, you know, very strong again this year. Yeah, if they had Eli King, they'd be, you know, obviously adding another weapon to that. But I think, yeah, at 2A, it's, you know, I think a lot of people are excited to, or hopeful to see, Minneapolis North and Waseca play in the finals.
Oh, fun stuff. So you're going to, what will be your schedule now? You watch them on TV? What do you do?
Yeah, it's going to be, again, with the COVID restrictions, they're not allowing a lot of folks into, the different venues, and especially Target Center. So a lot of TV time. So kind of going back and forth, watching NCAA and then watching high school. So the next 2 weeks is going to be a lot of good basketball on TV, Mike.
All right. Hey, appreciate it very much. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you again for this morning. You've been a great partner and asset for us. So we definitely appreciate everything you do for us, Mike.
You bet. It's always fun to talk hoops with you. David Hedberg running the Mr. Basketball Committee as they go down the stretch now. And, Jalen Suggs on national TV tonight, and he was outstanding in getting Gonzaga to the Final Four. He's not alone. He's got a lot of good players with him. But they won 83-64 over a very good USC team. And Suggs was the focal point. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. How about that? wow. 18, 10, and 8? Are you kidding me? That's pretty good. And to think that he'd be playing football as well. So he and Paige Beckers go back-to-back nights, taking their team to the Final Four. It's just uncanny what they have done. Not only have their careers mirrored each other in terms of success at an early age and state titles and all those things, but it's almost as if they've set this thing up so one plays one night and the other plays the next night. They like leapfrog and then boom, boom, boom. And both will be in the Final Four, so that will continue for the foreseeable future. Take a break. Come back. Mike Max, Sports to the Max. But before I do that, I want to talk to you about Old Dutch. Old Dutch Foods has a number of different flavors. You're going to watch the Final Four. You're going to watch the high school hockey. Whatever it is you're going to do. Do it with Old Dutch. How about the dill pickle flavor blended with subtle heat of fresh jalapenos? How about just that dill pickle flavor? Because it's going to get nice out here. And you want that at the side with the hamburger, at the side with the hot dog, at the side with the bratwurst. How about the Dutch Crunch? Number one brand of kettle chips in the Twin Cities. How about the Dutch Crunch Prime Rib Potato Chip? Are you kidding me? Huh? How many bags of that could you go through watching ball games this weekend? How about the Ripples appetizers on the go, Korean barbecue, street taco, potato chips? They are delicious. Old Dutch, man. The Minnesota, like WCCO, a longtime Minnesota tradition that gets it right consistently. Old Dutch Foods, yes, quality lives here. Really cloudy and 34 degrees. Welcome back, Sports for the Max, News Talk 830-WCCO. Bill Robertson, you got a team in the Frozen Four of your conference. You've watched this thing and three Minnesota teams. And, as we look to positives in COVID, that's one of them, right?
It sure is, Mike. So happy to see the state of Minnesota do so well, not only in the Frozen Four coming up, but also getting all five Division I programs into the NCAA tournament. That's amazing to begin with, and yet I'm so happy. This is my first time in my 7 years as commissioner of the WCHA that we've had a team in the Frozen Four. And I can't tell you how happy I am for Minnesota State, the fact that they're going to be able to play in Pittsburgh next weekend, and I hope they do very well because it would be a great way to cap off a very challenging and unique year.
As the stakes get higher, Billy, we saw Notre Dame and Michigan bow out because of COVID. As you talk to your coaches, what are they? I mean, you got to really be – you hate to hear have them have to deal with this kind of pressure. But the truth of the matter is these coaches got to tell the players, hey, you can't go out this weekend. You can't do what you want to do, even if it's 70 degrees. And we want you to enjoy this process, but you got to hang in there with us a little while longer. What is that part of it like?
Well, that is a stressful situation for the coaches and the athletic director at any university. But I think they all have the goals in mind of trying to win and really take it step by step to get to this point. So they're not going to back down now and do anything foolish, in my mind. I realize that the weather's changing in Minnesota for the better. And there are opportunities to be outside, which I think being outside is a good thing rather than being inside. But at the same time, the NCAA has strict protocols getting ready to go to Pittsburgh, as well as they did for the regionals, where they're testing every other day. And then when they get there, they have to test daily. So there's going to be no room for error on this end. And yes, stuff does happen. We've had it happen before. And, you know, as I think I told you the last time we talked, every night we played a game in the WCHA, I was just hoping, you know, whether the teams win or lose, or we had supplemental discipline or major penalties, I was concerned just that we'd get the game on, that the officials were there, both teams were okay to play, and we got the games in. And very proud of the fact, Mike, that the WCHA got all their regular season games in this year, and I think that's a real reason why we got three teams in the NCAA tournament, because of that fact itself. No other conference can say that.
Did you ever have fans at any games?
We did. Bowling Green, in the playoffs, were able to have 25% capacity in the state of Ohio. And they had them in the playoffs. And in the regular season, they did not. Our semifinals and championship in Mankato, the state of Minnesota only allows 250 fans during the month of March. So we were very limited. And what that does is put pressure on the budgets and trying to minimize as many expenses as possible, trying to put on an event that we know is not going to have any ticket revenue associated with it.
Now that we kind of know, if you know, the NCAA basketball being the driving force, that they've gotten through that piece of it, and they know what money they're going to extract from that, what is the net effect going to be next fall for these budgets? Or is every school going to be different based on how much money they can borrow from their administration?
I believe that's going to be a big piece of it, and how many teams are projecting that they can have half-full stadiums, arenas, rinks, or full stadiums, arenas, and rinks. That's going to be a big piece of what happens, and they're having to project those now because predominantly all these schools are on a July 1 to June 30th budget. So those decisions are going to be made probably in the next month at the University of Minnesota, at Minnesota State, and others, just trying to figure out what they can do for next year.
And what do you think? I mean, is there talk amongst them? Is there going to be another wave of, of non-revenue sports cut?
I don't know if that's going to happen right away. I think every school, everything is on the table. Every school is looking at ways they can save money. I think the biggest factor is going to be you're going to see many more regionalized games in football, hockey, and basketball for sure, and baseball and others. The days of going from Southern California all the way to the East Coast may be over for a while, and just because of the pure cost and the potential of any type of pandemic outbreak. So I see for the next 2-3 years, you're going to see a lot less of that type, and every sport will be scrubbed and scrutinized in their budgets. And they're going to try to limit as much as they can and try to play as many home games as they can. And as you know, you have to play home and road games, but the bigger the school, the more they can afford to try to play home games. And the smaller schools are going to have to come and play in these regionalized games at the bigger schools, like a Big Ten conference.
Well, yeah. And actually, I mean, those smaller schools are going to probably need that because they need money. I mean, University of St. Thomas starts playing basketball, and they want to go play where somebody will pay them, right? Because those budgets have been whacked too.
You bet. And they're going to absolutely, University of St. Thomas is going to need that. They're going to have to be very creative in ways of playing teams, you know, in all sports like Wisconsin and Marquette in basketball and University of Minnesota, et cetera. And the two North Dakota State and North Dakota, just to get some games in and get some money on the table. And that's going to be a big thing. And then the other thing is that the leverage they have is what we call 3-for-1s. And you probably know that term, and probably some of your listeners have heard this, but it's, okay, we'll play at your place once. The big school says that, but you'll come and play us three times.
Yep.
And that's where you make your money. And in particular, as we go forward and hopefully this pandemic is behind us and you can get full stadiums, arenas, and rinks, you're going to see, you know, the revenues start to climb.
When, you know, as someone that oversees a conference, what has been your take on the transfer portal and how it's changed college sports?
Well, I'll tell you, every coach in the country in college hockey is nervous about the transfer portal and what it's done. But I knew 3-4 years ago that the NCAA was looking at, you know, favoring the, I think it's more than anything, is they want to give the student athlete more access. It was always the coach left and the kids were stuck at the university. And now it's gone the 100% opposite way towards what's good for the student athlete for the most part. So the portal itself is going to give schools, excuse me, a chance to pick up some really good players as you're seeing already basketball, and you'll see some in hockey here coming up in football, and some really smart and savvy teams are going to have the ability to bring these players in right away. And if it's a one-time transfer where you don't have to pay a penalty for it, that's going to happen. And that's how Gopher basketball, in my opinion, is going to get better, not only by the recruiting of the new coach, Mr. Coleman, but it's going to also be that transfer portal where he's going to find some players, as well as every other sport.
Yeah, we had Jamison Battle on tonight, and he's one of them. And you know, one of the things that's going to happen here, Bill, is originally I thought the transfer portal was going to be, unfortunately, a glorified junior college these are going to turn into, because if you can see a kid playing at a mid-major, as they say, or a small Division I school, and you can offer them something because you think they're good enough to play in the Big Ten. But I was told by a coach the other day that he said, you know, it's gotten there's so many people in the transfer portal that there's high-end guys that aren't going to get offers at other high-end schools. And so they scored 5 points a game for their basketball team. They're now going to have to find a team, a North Dakota State, a Drake or something like that, because there's just too many guys that are trying to transfer right now.
Yeah, there's a lot in the portal for each sport, and it's only going to continue. And if a student athlete doesn't like where he's playing or doesn't get the playing time they want in whatever the sport is, you're going to see that. And I think the other thing that happens, and I know that college hockey coaches get very sensitive, is the fact that it's the buddy system. You're playing against another team, and you're lined up in the face-off circle, and he says, hey, are you happy? No. Well, why don't you think about coming to our school?
Yeah.
You're seeing some of that.
Oh, these coaches, you know how coaches crave control.
Think about coming to our school.
Yeah.
You're seeing some of that.
Oh, these coaches, you know how coaches crave control.
Yes.
And now they're losing it, and they got to recruit. You know, some of this is good, Bill, and you know what I'm talking about. You got to now develop individual relationships with these kids. It's not, hey, it's my way or the highway.
Correct. And those days are long over, where it's my way or the highway anymore. And you got to be sensitive to their needs and what they're doing. But at the same time, if you have a basketball team that has 15 players or a hockey team that has 25 to 30 players, you're not going to be able to keep everyone happy, as you know. That's just not the way it works. So the kids have to be in a position where they're going to mature quickly and then figure out if they're going to ever play at that institution.
And part of the problem with that is you say, well, then those people that are sitting on the bench are going to want to transfer. It's not just them. It's the kid that scores 17 a game that says, hey, if I'm good enough to do that in this conference, why don't I take a shot at the big time?
Yes, and the other piece is the whole extra year of eligibility because of COVID. And schools that have already had athletes play 4 years can then go off now next year and play a fifth year either at their school or they can go somewhere else.
Would you know? And do you? What did they do? Did they, like in college hockey? Do you still have the same number amount of scholarship money, or is it different?
No, it's the same. It's 18 scholar 18.
So you got to divvy it up, and you're gonna have to either force some kids out or tell some kids to go to juniors, huh?
Correct. And 18 over, and actually, they're most of these schools are recruiting 25 to 30 players, probably closer to 30 every year. So 18 scholarships divided by 30 is not full rides for everybody.
And everybody always assumes that, but there's very few full rides in college hockey.
No, and then, I had lunch with John Anderson a couple of weeks ago, the baseball coach at Minnesota, and he was telling me that baseball has, I believe, college baseball has 11.8 scholarships in baseball for a team that has 9 players. And, you probably have another 30-man roster in baseball.
Right, and a bigger roster coming. And you don't have junior leagues. Hockey has the advantage that you can send them to the junior leagues.
Correct. And the junior leagues are the bargaining chip for some of these players coming out of high school.
Yeah.
especially in the sport of hockey, where they can say, well, I can go play juniors, or I'm going to think I'm going to play in the USHL for a year and get stronger and bigger, and then I'll see where my lot is at. I mean, we had a lot of players when I first started. The average age of a freshman coming in to the WCHA was age 20.
Yep.
And, you know, kids graduate at age, some at 17, some at 18. That's what I did when I went to school back in the day. And now they're going to juniors for a couple of years or tier one hockey, and then becoming a different style player.
Well, you know how Mankato kind of does. I mean, they got that big, heavy, strong, mature team, right?
They do. They're going to be tough, true, in this tournament coming up, Mike.
And a great goaltender behind them, you know.
Mike Hastings has done a marvelous job there. St. Cloud's going to have their hands full with Minnesota State. And actually losing in our semifinals, they got beat by Northern Michigan 5-1, and they weren't really in that game. In Mankato was
Grant Patomi, yeah.
Yeah, quite the stunner.
Yep.
But Northern Michigan and Grant Patomi's squad, I mean, really played well. But I think that was a wake-up call for Minnesota State to say, hey, we can't just come out and play. And I think that's going to help carry the day. I'm not saying they're going to beat St. Cloud. I hope they do, because that's our conference, my conference that I work in. And
yep.
I think they have a legitimate chance. And I think, you know, the other game is a toss-up. I watched UMass play Bemidji State, one of our schools one of the Eastern Regionals. And I thought Bemidji had lots of momentum again. And yet UMass is really good. And Scotty Sandlin at UMD has won the last two national championships. He's going for a third consecutive national championship. So it'll be really interesting in Pittsburgh next Thursday and Saturday to see how this all plays out. And I'm really hopeful that the WCHA, if this is our last year on the men's side, that we can go out on top as a national champion.
Yeah, for sure. Last question, baseball, as it comes back at 10,000 a pop around here, do you think that will kind of lead the way as they unfold the curtain as we get into the summer months? If 10 can go to 20, if 20 can go to 30, that by the fall we'll be in great shape?
Yes, I do. And I saw, is it today where I saw where football, Roger Goodell said that he would like to have full stadiums in the fall. So I think it's going to be a gradual process for baseball. I think 10,000 is a good start. And I think by July 4th, that could be half full. And then hopefully with the Twins in a pennant race, they're going to have a full target field by August 1st or so, and then play the whole rest of the way all the way to the World Series with a full house, which I think would be just great to get back to some type of normalcy in this very, very strange time.
Although the one thing is, Bill, and you know this with your member schools, is you know, out of sight, out of mind, if you can't go to games and budgets get reconfigured for corporate and personal, you got to resell the public again and the corporate world again, don't you?
Yes. And as I think I've said to you before, it's easier to keep a sponsor or
yes.
easier to keep a season ticket holder than it is to find a new one.
Yes, because you have constant communication and a reason to talk to them.
Correct. And if you and going out to try to find new fans and to commit to, in baseball, it's 81 home games. That's a challenge. And people are doing a lot less because of their budgets. So it's going to be hard for all the teams, not just the Minnesota Twins. Every single team in this market, all across the country, I'm seeing it. I've talked to ticketing people, sponsorship people, and it's really a hard sell. It will loosen up over time.
It will come, but the point is you can't forecast it. You can't budget it because you don't know when that is, right? When the switch gets flipped.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yep. And you can't project and budget and say, I know we're going to be at this point on August 1st because you don't know that.
You don't know.
You really
yep.
don't.
And you don't know how your corporate people are going to respond. Hey, Bill, great to visit with you. We'll do it again soon. And are you going to go out to Pittsburgh next week?
I am. I'm going to travel and we have to stay away from the players. We can't be near them
yep.
per NCAA, so it's going to be a little different. I can't be near the locker rooms to greet the team or the coaches, but I've sent them all notes, and I will continue to do that. But I will be in Pittsburgh next week to enjoy, hopefully, a national championship for Minnesota State.
Enjoy yourself, Bill. Thanks so much.
All right, Maxie. Thanks so much. Take care.
The commish, Bill Robertson. Parting thoughts next on Sports with Max at WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.